Just before I kind of share my homily, just know that we certainly gather in prayer this day, holding and embracing the lives that have been so dramatically changed by these hurricanes and others out in the Atlantic still to come. We raise them all up in prayer and hold them dear to us. We've placed a little book in the narthex on a stand, and you're invited, if you'd like, to write down names of folks you know who may have been affected by this hurricane. We certainly pray for everybody, but sometimes putting a name down, thinking of somebody, just makes it so much more concrete. So if you'd like to do that today, you're certainly invited to stop at that book and sign a name or whatever you'd like to do to raise in prayer at this time. Context is everything. When we try to understand something, it's so important to know the context. And I want to share some thoughts this morning on this reading that letter of Paul wrote to the Romans, and share some thoughts on that, and allow that perhaps to engage us in our lives here at St. Paul's. It's a reading. It's a letter that Paul is writing, kind of mentioning the commandments. You know, he mentions follow this commandment, that commandment, that commandment. But Jesus calls us to love, which is the fulfillment of the law. At the time that Paul was writing, the church was certainly going through some dramatic changes. Remember, to remind you, the early Christians were mostly Jewish. They were Jewish, and they became followers of Christ. And so for them, there wasn't necessarily a total letting go of their Jewish heritage. They continued to follow the way, the tradition of the Jewish tradition, were also followers of Christ and lived into that, the gospel and the new life offered to them. But then there began to be folks becoming part of the Christian community who, as you know, were not Jewish, did not come from any Jewish background, oftentimes in a broad definition called the Gentiles, kind of like those who were not from a Jewish tradition. And the big question came up in the early church was, do these people have to become Jewish first in order to become Christian? We may not even think of that as a concern, but there were many who felt that they must be, the men must be circumcised, must follow these laws in order to be a follower of Christ. Paul, after whom our parish is named, suggested otherwise. He suggested that you do not have to be Jewish first. You simply need to be baptized, and you enter into this life that we live. And so what Paul, I think, is trying to do in today's reading is kind of balance that. His audience is probably vast, the way the opinions they have. Just as any preacher gets up on Sunday and knows there's very many different ideas and views of things. But Paul's trying to say, here are the commandments. And you know, there were like 621 or so commandments, laws the Jewish people followed. He acknowledged those. Some of them are this and this and this. Because for the Jewish people, these commandments, these laws, this was a way, they believed this is how God showed us who God is, and how this world is supposed to be, and how we're called to live our lives. For them, the law was that expression of God, letting them know something. What Paul says is, yes, there's the commandments, but in Christ, there is the fulfillment of the law. In a sense, we step now beyond the law into Christ. For the follower of Christ, Jesus is the one sent by the Creator to show us what creation is, who we're called to be, how we're called to live in this world. This wasn't necessarily, you know, commandments bad, Jesus good. it's a people being formed and transformed continually. But can you sense the struggle that must have been in the early followers of Jesus, letting go of some ways that they saw this is the way you live this life, and there's these new people coming, and I don't know, I want to hold on. They're going to have to learn this. Paul is saying, you know, we can all be in this together by following Christ. I think that's something what's going on in this letter this morning that Paul is writing to the Romans. And so I begin to engage with that and see how can that speak to us today in our lives. How are we, as followers of Christ, called to be formed and transformed in our lives? How can we live into this constant change? You know, as someone once said to me, the one constant in life is change. The one constant in life is change. And can we be like the Jewish Christians? Say, I don't know. So we're going to hold on to these things. Paul saying, you know, you certainly can. But others join us in different ways. Just want to highlight some practical things here at St. Paul's you can engage in to help in that continued formation. We're all formed in many different ways. You're formed through the folks you've come to know here at St. Paul's. You're formed in the various ministries you're a part of. But there are some particular things I just want to highlight as we enter into this season of our programs kicking in. Church life is interesting. We have three beginnings. Advent 1 is the liturgical beginning of the year. Of course, January comes around, we're always the beginning of a new year. And then, of course, the fall comes around, and like September now, we say, it's a new year. It's our new program year. But there are some wonderful things being offered in terms of us being formed, in terms of our formation as followers of Christ. As you know, one of our ministries we call adult formation. It used to be called adult education. But we've really, in the last year or so, have changed that to adult formation. Education focuses on learning, which is important. And adult formation includes that. But it's also how do we take this learning in and enable it to form and shape us. And so we have some things I'd like to invite you to engage in the next couple months. Our adult formation actually begins today in the chapel at 10:15. And we're doing a series. The clergy will be leading it. And it's basically, what does it mean to be an Episcopalian? What is this Episcopal charism in the Christian tradition? It's certainly a broad household, but we have a way of being and seeing and doing things. And how can we continue to let that form and shape us? And so Javier begins today's session with the idea of pilgrimage as kind of a model of the Christian journey. And Javier is going to incorporate some of his trip to the Holy Land that he took. So it's worth it just for that, I think, just to kind of learn some insight. But Javier will be getting that, and I'll be picking up some classes, and Carr in October will be leading some classes. But just engaging in this Episcopal identity. What is it all about to be an Episcopalian? We're also doing some adult formation on Wednesday evenings and at 7 o'clock. And I'll be starting this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock. I'm doing a three-week series session on, the topic is embracing interfaith cooperation. Embracing interfaith cooperation. It's a series I'll be facilitating, well, a little DVD part as well, but there'll be mostly kind of time for conversation and dialogue about how we live into this idea of interfaith cooperation. The DVD includes folks from many different traditions. It's actually facilitated by a Muslim, but it engages us in conversation. Another way to be formed and shaped and begin to grow in this journey we walk together. So next year is St. Paul's 60th anniversary and the preschool's 25th anniversary. And I don't know about you, but with birthdays or anniversaries, any number that ends in a 0 or a 5 seems to be significant. You know, there's a big difference between being 38 and 40. Or 64 and 65. Those numbers, zeros and fives, seem to define things. So we have 60 ends in a 0, 25 ends in a 5. We want to raise that up. You kind of not just celebrate what has been, but where are we being called to go forward as a faith community? So one of the things we're going to invite us to do as a community is to look to gather together and do a little visioning together. And how do we continue to live into the richness of who we are? But how are there other ways that we can be called to do things? And we've invited, our leadership has invited some consultants to walk with us with that, to facilitate that with us. We have an architect firm who's going to be a part of our discernment, and also some folks from a capital campaign consultancy who are going to help us as well to have some conversations. And that begins today at 1 o'clock. Invite you to come on back at 1 o'clock and gather with us as we begin this process. There'll be lots of conversations going on even during the week with some of the leadership and different ministries and things, just to kind of get a sense of where we're called to be. How can this gathering place, how can these facilities better serve the ministries that we want to live into, where we feel we're being called to, and how do we do that? So we're kind of marking the 60th anniversary and the 25th anniversary of the preschool as ways to kind of, let's look at ourselves. Where is the Spirit moving in our midst, and who are we called to be? So I invite you to engage in that and be part of that process. We continue to be formed and shaped, formed and reformed. And we face that as a faith community. Many of us have a rich tradition of understanding our own faith tradition, but as we engage with the world around us, as we engage with the community around us, folks come from different traditions, different backgrounds, perhaps no religious background, and engage with us. The millennial, the world-famous millennial generation, who many people unfairly stereotype, I think, but there are characteristics to folks who are from different demographics of their experience of the world and life, and we need to have those kinds of conversations and see where are places that we can be more of something that perhaps we haven't been able to so far. We continue in the richness of who we are, but perhaps there's new ways, new avenues, new venues that we can gather together and think about and find ways that we can support through our facilities. So I offer those thoughts with you today as we begin this new season, that we may find ways to continue to be formed in this wondrous faith that we walk together.